This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Well, I apologize ahead of time, because it was several years ago, if you go back that far, at St. Joseph's, where I told this story, so bear with me if you've heard it before, but to me, it is just the most appropriate story to tell when we talk about this gospel and the other readings that were assigned for today in the lectionary. It goes like this. There was a Chinese farmer who had a horse on whom he depended for everything that he had to do to plant the crops, that he had to do to grow the crops. And of course, when it was time to harvest the crops, he would take off the plow and he would put on a little cart that then the horse would help to harvest the crops and then, of course, take them off to market. There was hardly a day that this little horse did not figure into that peasant farmer's life. Well, one day, that horse was stung by a bee, and it frightened the animal, and in its panic, the horse ran away and ran up the mountain behind the peasant's farm. The farmer tried to follow the horse, but couldn't keep up with it, and he had to come home that night and tell his wife and family and the other villagers that his beloved and much-needed horse had run away and was gone. And there wasn't much that happened in this village, so this was big news. It spread. And for several days, people would come up to him and say, "Sorry about your horse, such bad luck for you." And with his characteristic humility, the farmer would say, "Bad luck? Good luck? Who's to say?" 7 days later, to his great surprise, the horse returned, but not alone. The horse came back with six other wild horses that had obviously met up there in the wilds, and now that little peasant farmer had not one, but seven horses. Word spread through the community. And of course, for several days, people came up to him and said, "Good luck about getting all of those horses." And with his characteristic humility, he said, "Bad luck? Good luck? Who's to say?" Well, with those seven horses, his son was very anxious to make the most of this new economic opportunity. He began to try to break in some of those horses, but he wasn't very experienced with it. One of the horses bucked him off, and he fell wrong and broke his leg in three places. Word spread in the community. They came to him and said, "Sorry about your bad luck with your son." And again, with characteristic humility, he said, "Bad luck? Good luck? Who's to say?" 2 weeks later, a war broke out. And all of those young men who were able were drafted into the army to go and fight, except for his son because of his broken leg. And the people said to him, "Good luck." And he said, "Good luck, bad luck, who's to say?" 2 weeks later, there was a battle, and all of the young men in that town who had gone off to war were killed, save for his son with a broken leg. And the farmer once again said, with his characteristic humility, "Bad luck, good luck, who's to say?" I love that story. Because that story addresses the ultimate, essential, important for us to stay rooted and content with where we are on our journey. The bulletin that you have before you today includes the scripture readings that are assigned. And if you look over on page 4, you'll see that there's an Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, the prophet. And it hits on this very theme. This is a time when the people had been brought into exile. They had lost everything, and they're in a foreign land, and they aren't very grateful for their situation. And what does Jeremiah say to them? He tells them in that second paragraph, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives, have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. That there's this call that where you have been placed, we are called to live life to its fullest with grateful hearts for the blessings that we have. It's the same thing in the second reading, if you flip over to page 6, where St. Paul in 2 Timothy talks about his situation. And he says right at the beginning, that is my gospel for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Remember when Paul was in jail in Philippians and he wrote those classic lines, give God thanks in all circumstances. It's the same situation again as in Jeremiah. Oscar Wilde gets credit for this little poetic couplet where he says something like, two prisoners looked through iron bars. One saw mud and one saw stars. That it becomes important for us to have an attitude of gratitude that is going to enable us to move on as best we can in our lives. And so the gospel story, the 10 lepers, it's all about gratitude once again. Why is gratitude important? Well, they did a scientific study some years ago, a book that was called something like A Way to Happiness. I had to read it in my doctoral studies. But what they did is they took a group of people and they do the statistical dividing up of them to find out what led to people's happiness. And they discovered in their concluding remarks that 40% of our happiness is based on just what we're given in life, our life circumstance. 10% of it has to do with those things that happen to us along the way. The rest of our happiness has to do with the way we choose to live our lives, the attitude that we choose to approach life with, that is under our control. Largely the attitude of gratitude that we give to our existence. And so they took people and they said in this one group, okay, we are going to keep a gratitude journal. Now, to make that simple for understanding purposes, you remember when all these people were doing in their Facebook posts that every day they were going to list 10 things that they're grateful for in their lives for a period of a certain amount of days? That's exactly what this is. It's a gratitude journal. And you know what they found? That those people over time were not only overwhelmingly more happy with their life, but they were also more physically healthy. There is something to this idea of gratitude. So now we come to this wonderful story in Luke's gospel, the 10 lepers. We hear it all the time around Thanksgiving, huh? One of the cycles in our Thanksgiving, it's the gospel that we used to get. And it is important for us to look at this, perhaps first from the perspective of what we're doing in our small group series. Many of you are doing that in the stories that Jesus tells. Now, it's based on the parables of Jesus. And this first past week, we were looking at Luke chapter 15 with the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. But the author of this thing talks about the fact that there's always a gotcha in the parable. That we think that, oh, we know, we've heard this story before. We know what's coming. And then there's a gotcha. And the gotcha for me this past week in her approach to the prodigal son story was the fact that that story begins with a man had two sons. And we always want to concentrate on that prodigal son and the father welcoming him home, but we forget about that other son. That other son was also forgotten about for a bit at least by the father. That there's a completeness to which we are called. Well, there's a gotcha in this story. It's not a parable, but in this miracle story of the leper's healing, there are 10. Now, let's remember how bad leprosy was and is. It was a fate worse than death. It was a fate worse than death from a psychological and emotional point of view, for one, because you were immediately segregated from everybody else. You weren't allowed to be physically near anyone. You couldn't live near anyone. You had to live outside the city walls. You had to live by yourself. You had to stay at least 6 feet away from another human being. And when you were coming close to someone, you had to shout, unclean, unclean. You were totally isolated in quarantine. We understand that term, don't we? A fate worse than death. They would make them wear black clothes as if they were the living dead. Now, take all of that isolation and put it with what the physical condition would be. Your body just started deteriorating. And you would get disfigured. And just from a physical point of view, no one would want to be near you. And on top of that, you lost your sense of touch. Can you imagine? You might put your hand and not realizing you're too close to the flame and your hand would start burning, but you wouldn't stop because you wouldn't feel it. Cooking. You'd put your hand right in the stove and wouldn't know that you were burning it off. And so there was this added dimension of a loss of the sense of touch. Now, take that metaphorically. All of us at some times in our lives have experienced it or have loved ones who've experienced it where you become too numb to feel anything. We know what that's like. It's awful. This is what it meant to be a leper. Now, the gotcha in this story, 10 of them were healed. And then Luke says, and the one who came back to give thanks, and the man was a Samaritan. A Samaritan. The people that they thought in the Jewish community were the lowest of the low. The people they despised. The people, if they were racist, they were most racist and discriminatory to Samaritans. And he's the one who comes back to say thanks. So it is obviously the message here is about us being grateful. But today I'd like to reflect a little bit on the other nine. They did not come back. Jesus says, where are they? And throughout history, scripture scholars and commentators have all written what they surmise is, well, this is what the other nine did. And you can Google it, and there's just about everybody. C.S. Lewis, my hero, John Claypool, Martin Well wrote a book about this. There's several of them that just surmise, well, this is where the other nine went. Well, I've summarized some of these, and I think it's a good reflection on us to reflect upon maybe why I am not living with such an attitude of gratitude as God calls me to. So perhaps the first healed leper said something like this. Well, now I've got so much to do. I'm so stressed. I got to find a place to live now. I got to find decent clothes. I got to get a job. I got to get a resume. It was such a long walk back to try to thank that guy, whoever he was, who did that. But there's so much I got to do. How often do I use that as an excuse? I'm too busy to take time to be grateful. Or what about this? The next leper might have thought, you don't thank people for giving you what you deserve. I mean, it's only fair. I had to stay out here on the outskirts of life while my family had weddings, baptisms, parties, gatherings at Christmas. And I could never join. My friends were out playing sports. They were dating, falling in love, having babies. And I couldn't do any of that. So I deserve this healing. Seriously, don't I deserve this? I can be self-righteous like that at times and use it as an excuse not to be grateful. Or how about this one? I was so excited by how pretty my face now looked. My new face. I had to go and take some selfies. I had to get this posted on Instagram and Facebook as soon as possible so I could get as many likes as I could. It never even occurred to me to go back and tell him thank you. Never crossed my mind. How often can I be too wrapped up in enjoying the blessings and not giving thanks for them? Then there's one leper who perhaps thought he did it himself. I would like to say that that's probably the American guy. I'm the one who got up the courage to step out off the sides of the street, to stand in front of this man and flag him down in front of all those mean people. I called out for help. I got myself to the priest to be okay again. I'm as responsible for this healing as anybody. There's times I think it's all about me. And as a result, I'm not very grateful. Then there's another type. The type of leper that might have just enjoyed being sick. Because it gave him good reason to feel sorry for himself. To have his own little pity party. And he didn't want anybody to take that away. So coming to Jesus to say thanks was out of the question. Or perhaps one of the others never really believed that she was cured. She was the worrier. She kept watching for symptoms. She would wake up in the night thinking, oh my gosh, it's back, it's back. I know it. I know I still have it. It's here somewhere. She kept waiting for the symptoms to show up. She couldn't ever let herself enjoy her healing. She could never let herself be happy again because she didn't trust that it was really true. I can be that way. Or, it's hard to be grateful. Maybe one of those lepers just had a fear of being vulnerable. It takes vulnerability to say thank you to somebody. Because if I say thank you, it's like I owe you. It's like I'm now beholding to you. It's like I'm admitting out loud, I needed help. I couldn't do it myself. And it's like then that person has power over me if I'm truly grateful. And this person would have probably taken it to the next level. He knows I'm grateful. Why wouldn't he? Why would I have to say it out loud? Why wouldn't he just assume it? Can't we be that way? Then, there's a good side to this. John Claypool gets credit for this one. Maybe one of those lepers was extremely compassionate. Why didn't he come back to say thank you? Because he immediately ran to find all the other lepers. Because he was going to bring them back to Jesus so that they could have the same healing that he experienced. I like that one. Or a similar one. Some say that the lepers were so incredibly impressed and believing who this Jesus was that just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell everybody, we have seen the Messiah, he is alive, and he is Jesus. I like that one. There are two things that we can take away, I think, today from this little discussion. Number one is, we don't know other people's motivations, yet we're pretty quick to decide what they are. Perhaps this little story can be a wake-up call to us to give each other a little bit of the benefit of the doubt once in a while, because we really don't know. But then secondly, and most obviously, to be more grateful. John Claypool always says, life is a gift and every breath we take is a windfall. To be like those people in Jeremiah and be grateful for life as they now have it. To be like Paul and to see the stars even as he's in prison. Or like these lepers who are healed. To know that our God is there and that we are blessed in so many ways to take on that gratitude each and every day. Amen.